So we're going to continue with our preaching series that's known by the same name, This Is Us. This last year, we did a lot of work with our visioning, our values, all that. And this year, this fall, we are going to roll all that out. And our values, as we've gone to so far, what we aspire to, what we want to be, is a more unified church, deeply unified. We want to be a broad church. We want to grow in how broad we are and fully represent the kingdom of God as it exists here in northern Colorado. And today, we want to talk about being wholehearted. We want to be a wholehearted church. Paul says this in Colossians 3:17. He says, whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever we do, do it in the name of Jesus. What he's meaning there, he's meaning not that we say in Jesus' name every time we pray, although that's important. What he means is do things the way that Jesus did things. The way that he did them. That's what he's identifying there as the big idea. He's saying, do things the way that Jesus did them. Whatever we're doing, we do that the way that Jesus did them. If Jesus was anything, Jesus was wholehearted. Jesus was wholehearted in everything he did. He knew who he was. He received the love from his Father, and he knew what he was here to do, and he threw his whole self into it. You cannot get more wholehearted than the cross. The cross is entirely wholehearted, giving everything for the cause. Jesus lived this way, as with everything else that Jesus does, because it's the best way to live. He lived the best way a human could live, and we recognize part of that is being wholehearted. I've read that people loved Teddy Roosevelt when he was president so much because he lived that way. Whatever he was doing, he was throwing his whole heart into the project. He was giving himself wholeheartedly. They say that even when he was dancing, he danced wholeheartedly. And people described his dancing as hopping. He was a hopper, hopped around the dance floor. And that's what children do, right? You see kids hopping around all the time. And still, even adults are able to hop around. You know, when your team scores, not a lot of hopping in Fort Collins these days, is there? Our team is just... But when a man gets on his knee and the girl says yes, there's plenty of hopping going around here. Can we give a congratulations to Bill and Deborah? They got engaged just this week and we're thrilled about that. Couldn't be more excited about that. When people are excited and they throw their whole selves into it, they start hopping. That's just what happens. Jesus prays in John chapter 17. The way that he's communicating with the Father, it tells us so much about him. He knew who he was, and he received the very love that his Father wanted to give him, and he knew what his purpose was here in this life. So as he prays in the garden, he says, I and the Father are one. As you have sent me into this world, so I am sending them into this world. That's how Jesus prays. He understands who he is, that he is a human who is worth the love of God and called to special purposes to bring good news, to liberate, to make whole, to reconcile. He sees himself as a human worth the love of God and called to do special things, to liberate others, to make others whole, to reconcile them to the Father as well. Do you see yourself the same way? As a person worth the deep love of the Father? As one called by God to reconcile others to God. A human of such value that the Lord would pour his love into you and give you the great honor of bringing good news to this world. This is the go, no-go button on life. This is the go, no, go button on life. If we allow our shame, if we allow those who have cursed us, if we allow our wounds to have the authority, we don't get off of square one. The plane never gets off the ground. If we allow the tapes to play and have authority in our life, not me, Lord, somebody else. I'll try harder. I swear I will, but not me, not now. How could you? It's the go, no, go button on this life. If we allow ourselves the grace of God to invade us, to be able to look at ourselves and say, somehow, some way, the living God who created it all sees my life as worth enough to pour his love into, to give the ultimate sacrifice of his own son, and then to call me into something special in this world. That's the go, no, go button. If we don't receive that, we'll never get on with life. Hear the good news. Yeah, you are. The good news is, whether you think so or not, I would go as far as to say the objective fact is God does love you because you are worth it. And because there is a special call upon your life. God does have a desire to do something fantastic with the days and the months that we offer to him. But if we don't, we get derailed and don't accept that and don't hop through life. We kind of shuffle through life. But God says that he wants to give us a different kind of life. And if we receive that, hey, God can use me. God can change me and turn me into living a whole life. It's when we live half-hearted, right? We have one foot in and one out. That's what causes our misery in this life. We sort of decide to do things and we kind of shuffle through things. But as we get to a place where we are convinced and live in Jesus' name the way that Jesus lived, he understood, no, the Lord has a purpose for me. He sees my life as an agent of change here, and I'm going to get on after it. You know, there are some studies, we have to believe this, and we have to be able to say, yes, God can take this life where it is and move it to the next place. There's been some studies done, I'll never forget this, that say that most adults have the artistic skills of about a 10-year-old. We're all born artists, and we love to draw and create, but then about when we're about 10, we start receiving messages or whatever it is, and we get cut off. And we think our talent, our giftedness, our influence is what it is, and we're just going to stop here, and this is about as good as it gets. There is a person named Betty Edwards, and she runs a 5-day clinic that teaches people how to draw. And I want to show you just a few of these examples of before and after sketches. You show up on the first day, and you say, do a self-portrait, and then on the fifth day, you're doing that. Day one, that's about a 10-year-old. How we could all do that one, right? But the transformation is amazing. A little bit of instruction, a little bit of effort, and we become something different. We're so locked into thinking my talent that I've got, the giftedness that I've got, it just is what it is. This is who I am. This is what I've got to offer the world. This is just with human effort and with human instruction. Add into that the very Spirit of God and the change of our character. Imagine what God can do with us if we allow ourselves to be instructed by the Spirit, by his people, and allow the Spirit to work through us. By far, one of my biggest heroes in this life who's still alive today, his name is Gary Haugen. Some 20 years ago, he was sent on assignment, more than that, over to Africa because he was a lawyer working for the government, and he was sent to investigate the genocide that happened in Rwanda. And when he was over there, his life was wrecked. He couldn't believe what he saw, and he like most, didn't really know the extent of the problem of human trafficking. But when he went over there, he recognized what was going on, and he believed. This can change. He didn't go, oh, darn, it's a horrible world, and now I know that it's worse, and there's nothing we can do. It's such a big problem. He threw himself into the work of eliminating human trafficking, and now some 20 years later, there are thousands upon thousands of people who used to be held physically as other people's property that now live free. We got to be at that place where we believe things can change. God can use me to be an agent as change. As we size up our problems, do we believe that change can happen? As we start hopping into the strength and of the Spirit, things really can. So much of the time we think, this is the problem, The truth is, we have to have that recognition that through the Spirit of God, things actually can begin to change and go about the audacious task that He asks us to do. Living wholehearted, we do this when we receive our value from God. Yep. For whatever reason, God thinks I'm valuable enough to pour His love into and to give myself over to what it is that He's called me to specifically. It's critical we notice about Jesus that it's far more significant how we live. It's far more significant how we live than where or what we're doing. It's far more important how we go with our whole heart. It's far more important how we go where we go than what it is that we're doing or where it is that we are specifically going. Jesus says in John 17, as you have sent me into this world, I am sending them into this world. I am sending them where? To the world. Not a little bit vague, Jesus? Where do you want me to go? The world. I want you to deal with people in the world. That's pretty vague, but that's where Jesus goes. And the point is, it doesn't really matter where or with who or really what. It matters how. It matters how it is that we're going. Look what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10. And imagine Brandon Lott saying it out loud, who was up here earlier. Braden Lott. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who in it is worthy and stay there until you leave. Whatever town or village, this is Jesus sending out the 12 to go on a little training mission to experiment with the gifts that He's given them and to be bringing of the good news. Whatever town you go to, I'm not that concerned with the where. I'm more concerned with how you go to where it is that you go. I want you to know it's most important how it is we go hopping wholehearted like Jesus goes. He puts his focus on that. And far more than that, he tells them specifically what how looks like. Check out what he says here in the 16th. He says, see, I am sending you out like sheep into the midst of wolves. So be as wise as serpent and as innocent of doves. Wherever town you go to, this is what it's going to be like. And so this is how I need you to be when you go there. With the exception of our very own Fort Collins High School, there is no other team that has decided a sheep is a worthy mascot. The Lambkins. And no matter how tough they try to make those lambs look on their shirts, they just, you know. The black sheep. Oh, come on. The lambs, of course, they have no teeth. They have no horns. They have no wings. They are not fast. They have no fangs. It's the opposite of power. Jesus is saying you're going to be powerless in a certain sense. How would a sheep go into a pack of wolves? Very carefully. And go in wagging fingers and straighten up you wolves. You go in vulnerable. That's his point here. As we go vulnerably. How is a wholehearted, it's a vulnerable one. Jesus is trying to make particular, the Father's trying to make particular types of connections with this world. And they are not connections that are built on power, that are built on guilt, that are built on fear, that are built on obligation. They are connections built solely on love. And love, for love to work and to connect, it's got to be vulnerable, or else there is no love. Love's very nature is to be vulnerable to the other. Here is my heart, the best of what is in me, and I am handing it to you because I trust you, and here it is. You can do with it as you want to do. The types of connections that Jesus wants to make this world are ones built on love, not on anything else. I was told recently the story of another pastor told me this story about a doctor that he knew was dealing with a patient at one point and missed a cancer diagnosis. They ran the right test, they had the right information in front of them, but they made a mistake and missed the cancer diagnosis. It was a full year until they caught it. They didn't have any idea that it was going on. This doctor was a man of faith, and when he learned out that he had made this mistake, he broke, and he got in his car, and he drove to her house, and he said, "I am so sorry. I had the information in front of me, and I misread it. Can you ever forgive me?" Well, his malpractice insurance did not give him a gold star that day. He left his practice entirely vulnerable. He totally admitted fault. But it built a connection. His patient was able to weep with them, and they prayed together, and they fight the cancer still today. It's the power of vulnerability of the sheep that Jesus sends us out with. I'm not sending you out to be everybody's boss, to tell them what he tells us to go out vulnerable like a sheep. That's how a wholehearted person does it, exactly like Jesus came and was wholeheartedly vulnerable to us humans here. And then in somewhat of a surprise move, Jesus says, also go as wise as a serpent. Sometimes I think we have this picture of Jesus in our mind as a little bit aloof, almost like he's high and staring off and that just love people, you know, kind of vibe that you get sometimes. He's actually quite serious-minded, especially when it comes to accomplishing his work. He knows he has work to do, and he's quite seriously minded about accomplishing the work that the Father has given him to go. So it's not where we're sent, it's how we're sent. And he's talking about being wholehearted, as being wise like a serpent. It's very interesting what Jesus is asking for here. The serpent at the time was viewed as a wise animal, and further than that, it was shrewd, it was clever, it was crafty. Jesus lived wholehearted, and he expects us to do the same. He sends his followers out to be like the serpent. And we're remembering the central idea that it is about loving God and neighbor as self. And in the book of Leviticus, it's spelled out quite, so love God with all of your heart, with your soul, with your mind, with your strength, with your mind. Give your whole mind to the project. Be shrewd with this. Be wise with this. The whole of us, as we hop into that kind of a value here as a church, being shrewd and being wise is part of what we need to be. That's the whole heart in on the project. We think about people who maybe run a large company or something, and we think, well, yeah, sure, she has to be shrewd in what she's doing and wise and reflective and do research because she's running a company. We think sometimes when it comes to following Jesus, like, well, can't we just be nice? Isn't that about the... God is calling us to be wise in how it is we interact with each other. What is wisdom? That's a deep pool. And it is at least this, though. We try things in life, and then we evaluate. We look back at it and we say, how'd that go? How could it be done better? And then we learn how to do things better, live a little bit better. A wholehearted person is doing that with everything. Most notably, they're doing that with their own life and with the world that we're living in. Trying, evaluating, looking back, how did that go? And then learning how to do things better. I want to show you this little graph, courtesy of John Ortberg. We do this. We apply wisdom by knowing ourselves better and by knowing this world that we live in a little bit better. And this chart works like this. I want to get this right. If I am high in self-awareness but low in world awareness, I am bottom right. I'm a hermit. I'm high in self-awareness but low. I understand myself, my thoughts, my feelings, but I don't know how to connect them to God's world. If I'm highly aware of the world around me, but I'm low in self-awareness, then I'm a chameleon. Okay, I'm exquisitely tuned into the world around me, but I don't know about the gifts that God has designed for me to bring. So I just blend in, high in world awareness, low in self-awareness. If I'm low in self-awareness and low in world awareness, I'm clueless. That needs no further explanation. But if I'm deeply aware of the gifts God's given me, and I get it what's going on in the world, then God can start using us as change agents to be something different here in this world, to bring about his kingdom in better ways. You look at a man like Gary Haugen and say, he knows exactly who he is, what his gifts are, and what's going on in this world, and is able to throw himself into it with great gusto. He hops all the way into that. A person with a whole heart is growing in wisdom, knowing better who we are and what's going on in this world. Jesus adds then to this analogy, as innocent as doves. We go as innocent as doves. That is a wholehearted person. What he's getting at there is character. It's an issue of innocence. It's not where, it's not what, it's how we go. And the whole heart hops in with character, an innocent character. Jesus knows when you break everything down, you really can trace all of our problems back to a person. And when you break everything down, you really can find that every solution is going to come through a person. It's our character that matters the most. So we become people of character. The whole heart is vulnerable, out like a sheep. It is wise and it has character, living the life that Jesus lived, the whole heart hopping in. Finally, we must recognize the wholehearted living is that it inescapably, sacrifice will be called from it. You know, when coaches, they get their teams together right before they go play their game, they usually bring them on in for they stack hands, right? And they tell them about how glorious the victory is going to be and how wonderful it is. And then you say, okay, team on three, one, two, three, team. And they send them out with this glorious picture. Jesus does this interesting thing with his hand stack. I want you to look at Matthew 10 again here. This is right before he sends them out to go do their work. For they will hand you over to the council. They'll flog you, which means they'll beat you. In their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings because of me as a testimony to them and the Gentiles. Okay, kingdom of God on three. Kingdom of God on three. Go get them, team. He lets us know, hey, that what is true in this world, anything in this world worth having will require some sacrifice. It will require for us, and so as we approach this idea of wholehearted, do you mean to say that there could be an expectation that I would voluntarily suffer a loss? That I would refrain from a pleasure that I could otherwise have? That I would put the interests of other people ahead of my own interests? That I would sacrifice comfort? That I would reduce my lifestyle? Are you kidding? That I would give up time, that I would confess my sin, that I would give another authority in my life. Yes, that's exactly what Jesus is saying. Because Jesus knows the ultimate truth, that everything in this world that is worth having requires some sacrifice. There is zero question as to whether or not life in the kingdom of God will ask some sacrifice from us, but there is a huge question as to whether or not the people of God will trust. Oh, I see where this is going. I get it where this is all going. So I'm actually thrilled to learn how to trust you in this way, Jesus. I will give this up. I will offer to you that. Lord, take my schedule. Take it. I'm giving you my time, Lord. Lord, have authority over my finances. These are not mine. These are yours. I want to use them how you would have me use them. Lord, take these relationships that you've blessed me with. I want to handle them like you would handle them. Take my thought life, God. So many thoughts racing around. Take all of that, Lord. Take this present moment and each one after that as I surrender it to you, because it's about what you want, not what I want, which actually ends up giving me what I want most. So church, as we embrace this future together that God is calling us to, we want to embrace it with our whole heart. We want to be able to go all in on it. It's how Jesus is calling us to live. And so we allow the gaze of the Spirit on top of us this day. And we ask ourselves, how is Jesus calling us, calling you individually to take a step of vulnerability? In what ways do you need to grow in the area of wisdom? Trying, evaluating, trying it again differently. How specifically is Jesus calling you to be innocent? The characteristic of the dove. And what are the sacrifices that standing where you stand right now seem impossible? What are the sacrifices he's calling us to make? Jesus on our own. Living God on our own, all of it seems so impossible. Yet would you ignite us, Lord, with a vision for what can be? Lord, in this day, would you speak so deeply to the hearts, God, that don't feel they are worth it? That for whatever reason, continue to exclude ourselves from your love? That we would see this life you've given us as a valuable one? That even you, the living God, would make sacrifice to reach us? Lord, that we could receive the kind of grace and the kind of calling that you are giving to us this day, and that we would dive into it, Lord, with our whole heart, knowing, Lord, that you can do anything. We ask that, Father, in the name of the one who can raise the dead. Amen.